Well, since this is Confirmation Sunday, this sermon this morning is addressed as much to the confirmands as to anyone else. I'm going to be continuing a sermon series that we've been working on called One Anothering. Really hilarious, actually. There's a typo in my sermon. I was just reading. It says One Smothering. Doesn't like the word anothering because it's a made-up word, right? One Smothering. I guess that's another way you could do it. This word that shows up in the New Testament 101 times, allelon. That's the Greek word. We translate that one another. It's what you call a reciprocal pronoun. There's not really any other word like it in the English language. The world we live in is a difficult world. It's a complicated world. There are lots of people getting sick right now. There's lots of strife and division, economic struggles, businesses that are trying to make their way by, neighbors that are trying to get along with each other. But we march onward. We march onward in this difficult and complicated world as God's people. And so as God's people, we've got to figure out how we are supposed to share this world together and how we're supposed to share this world with others. And so week after week, what we do is we come here and we turn to the heavens and we ask God. We ask God to show us a way to help us learn how to share this world a little better. And so what we're doing in this complicated time is each week we're looking at a different passage from Scripture that uses that word, allelon, that word one another, so that it might teach us how to one another a little bit better. Last week, Pastor Megan preached. She read from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And she did a great job. I watched and worshiped online. With you all who were here. Today, I'm going to pick up right where she left off in 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. So I invite you to listen for two things. I want you to listen for God's word to us this morning, but also listen for that word, allelon, which is translated one another in our passage. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given of us His Spirit. And we who have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for the one who preaches, for his sins are many? Let us pray. Holy God, may something of what is said and done and seen and heard here today from this pulpit in this place and online be of you and your work in our lives and in this your world. In your holy name we ask this. Amen. All you need is love. Ba, 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 ba. Thank you. I knew somebody was going to pick it up. All you need is love. Ba, 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 ba. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need for you confirmands. That was written by John and Paul, the Beatles, not the Apostles. That was a long time ago, before you confirmands were born. A long time before I was born. I was born in 1984. That song came out in 1965. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. All You Need Is Love. It's one of the most well-known pop songs in all of history. Most of us know it or have heard it in some way. It's a good song. It's got that catchy lyric. All you need is love. Love is all you need. But what in the world does that mean? You ever stop to think about that song and like what it means? Like okay, that's a nice thing to say. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Nobody would disagree with that, but what are they actually even talking about? Is romance all we need? Is desire all you need? Is it attachment? That's all you need? Is it admiration from others? Is that all you need? Is it charity? Is that all you need? What exactly is this love that is supposedly, according to St. John and St. Paul, everything we need? The word love, I think, has a really complicated relationship with the English language. Pastor Megan talked about this last week. We use that word love in such a wide variety of ways to talk about wildly different things, don't we? In one sentence, you use it to talk about the way you feel about those who mean most to you. I love you, you say, as you hug the neck of your brother or your sister or your mother or your father or your son or your daughter or your best friend on their way out the door as they leave your house. Then just sentences later, you use that exact same word to talk about the way you feel about pizza. I love Domino's, you say, as the delivery man rings that doorbell. Showing up on your doorstep. The same doorstep that your loved ones just walked through moments ago. What a strange word to talk about your family and pizza. What on earth do we mean when we talk about love? This thing that we all need. Today I want us to start thinking a little bit more carefully and paying a little bit more attention to how we're using that word love and what it represents to us in our lives. I think this is a critical thing. You young people, you confirmands, it's a critical thing that you pay attention to the things that you love and how you use that word love. I think we got to understand it better. So here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to give you all my working definition of the word love. I've been working on this all summer long. I've been thinking about this. So here's what I want to say about love. I have come to think that the best way to think about what we mean when we use the word love is to think about your life as a kind of story. As a kind of story. We experience life as a story. Perhaps the story begins in a hospital room or maybe in your mother's arms or with the earliest moments that you can remember, but then the story continues on as you grow older. As you grow older, as you confirmands have grown older, a little bit wiser here today, the story continues on and it goes on until the day that you draw your absolute last breath. And in the meantime, this story that you find yourself in is kind of like one long movie, where you are the main character of the story. You appear in every single scene of this movie, this story that we call life. And your eyes are the only camera angle of this movie, this story that you call life. And your ears are the only soundtrack of this movie, of this story that you call life. And so as you go through life, you mostly experience the story, surprise, surprise, as a story about you. You watch this story, this movie, as your character develops, as you face trials and tribulations and triumphs. But every once in a while in this story that we call life, this thing happens, this strange thing happens, where the story of your life quietly, under the radar, starts to slip into becoming not about you, but about someone or something other than you, other than yourself. Whenever this happens, we call that love. We call that love. When the story of your life, if only for just a brief moment, becomes about something or someone other than yourself, what you have done is you have loved. Now, we call this experience of having your life slip into becoming about something other than yourself, we call that experience falling in love, because it can often feel like you're falling out of control. Most of us, when we think about falling in love, the first thing that comes to mind is a romantic partner. They think about your husband or your wife or your fiance or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or that person you got a crush on. But falling in love, you got to understand, is not just something that happens between lovers. There's this kind of falling in love that happens with family. I felt this the moment that I held my daughters in my arms for the very first time. Fell in love. And there's this kind of falling in love that happens with friends, too. Maybe you have felt this. In fact, it's true that we don't just fall in love with people. We fall in love with all kinds of things. We fall in love with animals and with pets. Anybody who's lost a pet can tell you that. We fall in love with places. Places like a favorite restaurant or maybe a vacation home with a gorgeous porch with a view that we like to come back to, or maybe even the town that we come to live in and call home. We fall in love with things like desserts, like recipes or comfortable chair. We fall in love with books or with movies or songs or bands or shows. We come to love sports and sports teams, entertainers and entertainments, ideas and ideologies. Not all of our loves are equal. Sometimes we fall harder for some things than others. But the thing that holds steady across all the things that we love, the things that make us love them, is the fact that we find ourselves making ourselves about them, making our lives about them, the things that we love. Now, most of the time, the reason you come to love something, the reason you fall in love with a thing, is because that thing brings you some kind of initial joy. And this joy is a joy you find yourself wanting to come back to over and over and over again. So you take a bite of that sandwich, and it's so perfectly delicious that you find yourself coming back to the same deli and ordering the same sandwich for lunch 3 to 4 times a week. You feel the thrill of catching your very first fish, and the next thing you know, you find yourself getting up every Saturday morning and grabbing your pole and making your way down to the same favorite fishing spot. You lock eyes with someone from across the room, and you feel your heart flutter, and then suddenly you have become convinced that you have just found the person with whom you are meant to spend the rest of your life. It's a joy you keep coming back to. And so falling in love then can often come on sudden, and it can come strong. So sudden and so strong that it can often feel like a matter of fate. Like a matter of fate, like it's destined to be. But I gotta tell you, it's not. Contrary to our grandest romantic notions, love is not actually a thing that clings to you and then holds on to you forever out of destiny, and destiny alone. In reality, I think love is better understood as a thing that grows. It grows the way a flower grows. Now, a flower can spring up quickly. And love, in the same way, can spring up quickly. It springs up quickly because we long for something to make our lives about. There's like a hole that lives deep within each of us, where some kind of love is just waiting to be planted. There's a part within each of us that's just waiting to be hooked on something, waiting to get addicted to something. But just like a flower that springs up quickly, it's the sunlight, it's the watering, it's the nurturing, it's the tending of the flower that keeps it alive. And this, I think, is the same advice that any veteran of any marriage will tell you, right? It's one thing to fall in love with a person, but making love last, that takes attention. It takes intention. And this advice is not just true for spouses, people who want to make a marriage last. This rings true for anyone or anything that you fall in love with. Friends, places, things. If you neglect your love for something, it'll slowly wither. It'll slowly fade. And given enough time, it can even die. And so while love's grip on your life can be powerful, it's not entirely true that we have no control at all over what we come to love. We all love things. We all love things. You can't control that. Of course you're going to fall in love with something, because we all long for people and things to make our lives about, to make our lives meaningful. So we all come to love things. That's unavoidable. On this you get no choice. But the choice you do get is whether to cultivate your loves, whether to garden them, or to just let them grow wild and uncontrolled. And this, it turns out, is a deeply difficult thing to do. And it's also a very important choice. Very important choice that you must make, because the things that we fall in love with in life and the ways that we come to love them matter deeply. For one thing, The things that we love in life come to define the way that we understand ourselves and understand the world. They shape a sense of who we are and who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live. Like a fan wears a jersey to a game, the things that we love, they shape our identity and the way we identify ourselves. When your life becomes about a thing, even for a moment, it affects the way that you understand the difference between what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's not, what's valuable and what's not. So in a very real way, you become the things that you love. You are the things you love. You are what you love. And then again, at the same time, not all the things that you love and the ways that you love them are good for you, are they? Sometimes the things that you love and the way that you love them can pit you against others in jealousy. Jealousy of others who share your love for them. And that can turn friends into rivals and rivals into enemies. Sometimes the things that you love and the ways that you love them can call you to arms, like you're ready to defend them from others who do not share your love with them. And that too can turn friends into rivals and rivals into enemies. Sometimes the things that you love and the ways that you love them can eat you alive from the inside out. Like if you come to love money and wealth enough, then you're always going to find yourself comparing yourselves to others, how much you have to how much others have. And you're never going to feel like you have enough, even though your life is completely full of junk. If the story of your life comes all about being successful, then you're going to find yourself devastated when failure inevitably strikes. If you fall in love with partying, it's not only going to drown you in misery, but drag everyone else who loves you down in misery as well. So not all the things that you love are good for you. Not all the things that we love and the ways that we love them are good for us. We do very well, it seems, to pay attention. You confirmands would do very well to pay attention to the things that you're letting yourself love. All you need is love, the Beatles say. Love is all you need. Okay, but what kind of love? What kind of love, John and Paul? What kind of love are we supposed to live with all these different kinds out there? What kind of love should we be cultivating? Should we be trying to garden in our lives? If the things that we love matter so much, what is it? What is the thing we're supposed to plant in this hole that lies within us? What are we supposed to fill this part of us that's just waiting to get addicted? Waiting to be hooked on something. Here's what 1 John tells us. It says God is love. God is love, and so we should love God, and we should love one another. Love God, and love one another. Love God. You see, this idea here is that this hole that lies within us that's just waiting to have something planted within us, that hole, it's God-shaped. There's a reason we have this tendency to love. There's a reason we long to make our lives about something or someone other than ourselves. That's not a design flaw. That's on purpose. That's the thing that makes us human, and it was put there on purpose because our lives are not our own. Despite the way we experience it, this story, this movie is not actually about us. Even though we might feel like we're the main character appearing in every scene, the only camera angle through our eyes, and the only soundtrack through our ears. No, what it actually is part of a larger story. A larger story to which everything and everyone in this world belongs, including ourselves. And it's only merely been entrusted to us, placed in our care. Because when it's all said and done, in life and in death, we are not our own. But we belong to God. So we should love God. Now, this is not to say that you cannot or should not love anything else in your life. But it is to say that there is a proper place for everything else that you love to be put away and kept. There are a great many bright and beautiful things that you can make your life about in this world. Things that ought to be enjoyed over and over again. But at the end of the day, you have to remember from whence all bright and beautiful things have come. A treasure that's been entrusted to your care, it can shine to your delight, but that does not mean it shines because of you or for you. No, ultimately, it shines for the one who gave it to you and to whom it will return, as mysteriously as that God may be. And so then the question remains, what then does it mean to love God? To keep all your other loves in their proper place. What does that look like? Well, it means loving one another. Loving one another. Because God is love. And you become the things you love. You are what you love. See, if this is the love with which you cultivate your life, then it will never pit you against someone else in jealousy. It can't do that. It'll never call you to arms. It will not eat you alive from the inside out. Rather, what it'll do is bring you to life from the outside in. For God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them, 1 John tells us. You are what you love. I don't think this is exactly what John and Paul and the Beatles had in mind when they told us that all you need is love. But it's true. It's true. What they said, what they sang. Love is all you need. If this is the kind of love that we mean, love for God, love for others, love for the one who is love, then yes, it's all we need. Love is all you 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 need. I can go on forever because the song goes on forever. So my prayer for us today, then, is that we might pay attention to the things that we love. My prayer for you confirmands is that as you grow older, you might pay attention to the things that you love. And I pray that together we might do some gardening. We might cultivate the right kind of love in our lives. I pray that the story of our lives may quietly slip into becoming about something so much bigger, so much better than ourselves. The one who is love. For God is love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.